Amen. All right, well, we're there in Philippians chapter number 4. And tonight I'm preaching a sermon. We're not in the book of Job, of course. Tonight I'm preaching a sermon on the subject of contentment during the holiday season. And this is actually a section of my sermon on Sunday morning that I ended up cutting out because it was too long of a sermon. I had too many notes. So I cut this part out and decided to preach it tonight. I usually preach three-point sermons, and if you were paying attention on Sunday morning, you'll notice that I only preach 2 points. So this is actually the third point, and what I did was I took the point, and I turned it into the sermon title, and I took the sub-points and turned them into points. So we'll see how long this takes, but we'll go through this. And of course, tomorrow we are celebrating Thanksgiving. And as Christians, we are commanded to be thankful. We are commanded to be thankful people. We're commanded to show our appreciation. You're there in Philippians chapter 4. Like you notice verse number 4, the Bible says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." We should be people that are always rejoicing, always joyful, always content. Notice verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, I think it's interesting that the word moderation here is used in verse 5 because the Apostle Paul is about to begin this conversation about being content. Notice he says, moderation. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation means the avoidance of excess or extremes. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then notice verse number 6. He says, be careful for nothing. The word careful or care in our King James Bible means to worry about or to be anxious about or to have anxiety over. He says, look, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then we have our words there, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the Bible teaches us, and I talked about it on Sunday morning, so I won't spend a lot of time developing it, that we are to be thankful people, that we are to be grateful people, that we are commanded to be thankful. But in this passage, when Paul tells us that we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, when he tells us, let your moderation be known unto all men, he begins to bring up this idea of contentment. Notice there in verse number 11, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he says this, not that I speak in respect of want. Now he's saying, I'm not saying what I'm saying because I want something or desire something. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And we see our word there, content. The word content means to be satisfied, not wanting more or desiring anything. And the truth is that there can be no real gratitude. There can be no real thanksgiving without contentment. Because contentment is the idea or the feeling of being satisfied, of not wanting anything, not desiring anything. And while we are discontented, if we are wanting other things, then we cannot be grateful or thankful for what we have. You cannot have thanksgiving without contentment. Therefore, we must protect contentment in our lives. And that's what I want to preach about tonight, contentment during the holiday season. I want you to notice just a couple of things here in these verses. Notice he says in verse 11 again, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. First of all, I want you to notice, this is just by way of introduction, that contentment is not a something that is based off our circumstances. You can be content in whatever state you find yourself in whatever position you find yourself in. People often think like, oh, I'll be content once I, you know, X, Y, and Z. Once I do these three things. Once I get this done. Once I get this. Once I go there. Once I move here. Then I'll be content. But listen, people who think that contentment is something that they find or something that they get will never be content. You'll never be satisfied because contentment is not based off your circumstances. He says, look, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I also want you to notice that he says, I have learned. And this is something that does not come naturally to us. Your children need to be taught to be content. In fact, when you meet a grown man or a grown woman that is not content, you are usually looking at an individual who had parents who never taught them to be thankful or grateful for the things that they have. Paul says this, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So I want to speak to you on the subject of contentment during the holiday season. And here's why I think it's interesting, and it makes me, want to laugh if it wasn't so sad. Tomorrow, we are supposedly, as a nation, celebrating Thanksgiving, celebrating gratitude, celebrating contentment. We're all going to, come together and we're going to eat food and we're going to remember the pilgrims and we're going to be thankful to God and we're going to be thankful to our family and we're going to be thankful to each other and we're all going to be content and satisfied and say, I'm so thankful for everything that I have. And literally later that day, because you won't even wait till Black Friday anymore, it's Black Thursday night, later that day, people will begin to feed every covetous desire from now till Christmas. And we take a day to be content right before the most covetous season in our country, in our nation, in our world history, right after Thanksgiving, leading up to Christmas, all about everything that I want. And it's just kind of funny, if it wasn't so sad, that the devil has just duped us like a bunch of imbeciles to say, yeah, go ahead and be thankful for one day and then spend the next 3 or 4 weeks just coveting after every last desire that you want. But let me tell you this. There can be no contentment. There can be no contentment while we allow covetousness in our lives. One thing that kills contentment is covetousness. And we need to be careful during the holiday season to be content. Now, let me just say this, and I don't want you to hear something that I'm not saying. Go to Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Please don't understand this. I'm not saying that it's a sin to try to go get a good sale on Friday, okay? I'm not saying it's a sin for you to go out and buy gifts for your loved ones. I think those are all good things. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. All of those things are good things, but we must protect, as Christians, we must protect ourselves at all times from the sin of covetousness, but especially right now, because starting right now, starting tomorrow, starting Friday, and the world's focus, every ad, every radio ad, every TV ad, every Facebook ad, all of it is going to be pushing you towards wanting, desiring, and it's easy for us to become covetous people. We must protect against covetousness during the holiday season. We must have contentment during the holiday season. Let me just define this. And look, this is a great concept that we need to teach our kids. You know that Christmas is not about getting gifts? You know that Christmas is actually about just celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we are such covetous people. And again, I'm not against buying gifts and giving gifts, but it's silly to me. We celebrate the birth of Christ by buying ourselves gifts. I don't know what birthday party you've ever gone to where everybody got a gift except for the one who's actually having a birthday. But that's what we've turned the birth of Christ into. And let's talk about this idea of covetousness. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write these things down. Number one, let's talk about the definition of covetousness. What is covetousness? Because this is a word that's not often used in our modern terminology. You don't usually hear people use the word covet. Other than a Baptist, independent, King James only Baptist church, you're probably not going to hear this word a lot. But what does this word mean? What does it mean to be covetous? What is the definition of covetousness according to the Bible? Well, first of all, covetousness means desire. Are you there in Deuteronomy 5? Look at verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says this, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house. You're there in Deuteronomy 5. This is part of the law of God. And I want you to notice how these two words are used interchangeably. We're told that you should not desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor. So what does it mean to covet? You know, can you self-diagnose yourself tonight and ask yourself, am I a covetous person? Well, you got to ask yourself this question. Is there anything that you desire? Anything you wish for, you long for, you crave for, you want. And of course, with the idea of covetousness is this. You say, well, you know, of course, everybody, there's things that we all want. You know, I want pie. and some people, you know, covet pie and lust after pie. And we can talk about that too. But, you know, the idea is this. When you get to the point in your life where you say, I can't be happy unless, that is covetousness. I won't be happy unless I drive this certain vehicle, unless I live in this neighborhood, unless I wear this certain brand. Covetousness means desire. Is there anything in your life that you would say, I can't be content until? I can't be content until. I can't be satisfied. I can't be happy. I can't be grateful until. It's covetousness. Covetousness means desire. Go to Proverbs 21, if you would. You're there in Deuteronomy. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21. There's things we all want. Nothing wrong with that. But when your covetousness does not allow for contentment, there's a problem. When you say, I cannot be happy until, there's a problem. See, covetousness means desire. Kids, listen up. Covetousness means greed. Proverbs 21, are you there? Look at verse 26. He coveteth, notice the adjective, greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. People often will deceive themselves in saying, well, if I won the lottery, I would be more generous. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. He that coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. See, the Bible says to covet, and by the way, nobody plays the lottery unless they're coveting. He that coveteth greedily all the day long. To covet means to have greed. What's greed? Excessive desire, especially for wealth or possessions. Go to Romans chapter 7, if you would. Romans, in the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 7. And look at verse number 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. Notice what the Bible says. What shall we say then? This is the Apostle Paul. He asks this question. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. And he's telling us that the only way that you and I know what sin is because of the law. The law tells us what sin is. Then he gives us an example. He says this. He says, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So notice he says, the way that I know that lust is wrong is because the Bible says, thou shalt not, or the law of God says, thou shalt not covet. So covetousness means lust. Covetousness means greed. Covetousness means desire. And by the way, you can covet things. You can covet people. You can covet other people's situations or things they have in their life. The definition of covetous is to want something and to say, I cannot be happy unless. I cannot be content unless I have X, Y, or Z. Go to Luke chapter 12, if you would. You're there in Romans. Head back to Luke chapter 12, Romans, Acts, John, and Luke. Luke chapter 12. We said number one, what is the definition of covetousness? Covetousness means desire. Covetousness means greed. Covetousness means lust. Let's talk about the dangers of covetousness. You say, what's the big deal? Why does it matter? If I'm just lusting after all these ads and all these things, you know, all these things that the world is telling me that I need to have, I have to have, you must have this car, you must have this toy, you must have this gadget. Why does it matter if I just give myself to that and say, yeah, I want all that? And not only do I want all that, but I can't be happy unless I have all that. What's the danger with that? What's the problem with that? Why don't you notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, in verse number 15, he says this. And he said unto them, and I don't have time to develop the context. I'm not preaching out of this parable. We could do a whole sermon. I've done entire sermons out of this parable in the past. But let me just say this. Two brothers are fighting about money. That's always something good for families to fight about. They had their father die, and they're fighting over an inheritance. And if you don't think this happens in real life, and they come to Jesus, and they say, can you solve this problem for us? Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. He says, look, be careful. And let me say this. Be careful about ending relationships over money. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he says this in verse 16, he says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying. So he just got done telling them, you need to beware about covetousness. Then Jesus, you know, I imagine he smiles and he says, let me tell you a story. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And by the way, let me just say this. In the story, the rich man is you. In fact, you ought to just draw a little line next to that word, certain rich man, and just write your name. That's you. You say, oh, that's not me. I'm not rich. Oh, yeah, you are. I'm about to show you in the passage. You're rich. Look at verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. He already had barns. He said, I need bigger barns, greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I want you to notice this man, Jesus tells us this man was a rich man. And we say, how do you know he was rich? He says, he had so much stuff, he didn't know where to put it. You want to know how I know you're rich? I don't even have to go to your garage, and I can already, you just think about your garage, and that proves you're rich. Some of you have so much stuff in your garage, you can't step into your garage. Some of you are so rich, you filled your garage with stuff, you've actually went out and found a company that would rent you a storage space so you can put more of your stuff. You said, you know, I got to build bigger barns. I need more things. I mean, I need more stuff. I've got so much stuff. I don't know what to do with it. A certain rich man brought forth plentifully and laid up for many years. And he said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look, Luke 12, 19, that's the American dream. Have a house, two cars, retire, eat, drink, and be merry. You say, what's the danger with covetousness? The danger with covetousness is this, that you will begin to think, and you might not ever say this out loud, but you will begin to think in your mind, in your heart, that life is only about the things you have. That happiness is connected with materialism. That the only way that you can be content, the only way that you can be satisfied, the only way that you can say, I'm happy and thankful, is because I have stuff. The problem with that is that when life becomes about what you have, you will waste your life. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 20. Notice what Jesus said. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Here's what he's saying. Look, please don't misunderstand this. Because you preach this, you think, that's pretty basic. It's pretty, I mean, I think everybody understands that. Really? Look around at our society. Here's what God says. God says, look, here's why you don't want to give your life to pursuing stuff. You say, why? And we talked about this on Sunday morning. Why don't I just want to give my life, give my youth, give my strength, give my energy, give my mind and my hands to just pursuing things. Nicer barns and bigger barns and greater stuff. God says, here's why. Because one day you're going to die. That's why. Amen. And then he says, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Look at verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. At the beginning of this little parable, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know there's more to life than the things you own? In fact, it's not a life when those things own you. There's more to life than the toys you have. There's more to life than the gifts you get. There's more to life than the things that we possess. And it's nice to have things, and it's nice to be given things. And you're more blessed to give than to receive, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when your life becomes about what you have, Jesus would say, you're a fool because you've wasted your life, because a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Go to 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We actually saw these verses on Sunday, but I'd like for us to see them again. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you find the T books, they're all clustered together. 1, 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We talked about the definition of covetousness. What is it? It's desire. It's greed. It's lust. We talked about the danger of covetousness. What's wrong with it? Well, what's wrong with it is that you'll end up thinking that life is all about what you have. You'll end up thinking that you can only be happy when you have more things. And when life becomes about what you have, you will waste your life. Because life is about that which is eternal. And things are the one thing you can't take with you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you say, well, what's the defense against covetousness? How do we defend against it? And by the way, this is what we should teach our children. During this Christmas season, we should take the time to teach our children these things. How do we defend against covetousness? Because here's the truth. All of us, every human being has the potential of becoming a covetous person. Look, if you sit there and listen to enough ads and look at enough, if you sit there and just look at your bank account long enough and look at the stock market long enough and look at, you know, RVs long enough and look at motorcycles long enough and look at iPhones long enough. If you allow these things into your mind long enough, you know, you're going to start to want them. If you listen to a radio ad that says you need a mattress and you don't think anything of it, and after the seventh or eighth time you've heard that radio ad, you're going to start thinking, I need a mattress. I can't be happy unless I have, I started noticing my back's been hurting, actually. Isn't it funny how we sell ourselves? What's the defense against covetousness? Here it is. Learn the difference between needs and wants. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I said this on Sunday. You and I sell ourselves in the worst decisions. You and I sell. Nobody has to sell us anything. We sell ourselves. We just, no, I want that. I want that and all the upgrades. I want the nice rims on it. I want the sun. Can you afford it? I just want it. Are you sure? Well, I need it. You don't understand? I need the sunroof. Because, you know, my neck gets hot. Whenever you walk around telling people, I need, stop lying to yourself. You know, there's actually very few things you need to live. The defense against covetousness is to learn the difference between needs and wants. See, if we were brutally honest with ourselves, we would say, no, I don't, here's the thing. I don't really need that car. I may need a car, but that one, I actually just want that one. If we were honest, I don't really need, do you really need that house? Because I'm pretty sure all you need is a house. You really need that house? No, you're not saying, I need that house. How many kids do you have? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, notice what the Bible says. Here's what you need, but godliness with contentment is great gain. See, remember he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know what you need is to be rich towards God. You know what you need is to be right with God. You know what you need is to read your Bible today and pray and love the Lord. and raise your children for God and be a soul winner and walk with God. That's what you need. He says, look, here's what you need. Godliness plus contentment. Godliness plus satisfaction. Godliness plus I don't really need anything else because once I have God, that's all I really need. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And notice how he circles back around. Same idea. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. See, the biggest waste of your life will be this. To get to the end of your life and realize that you spent so much time and energy and effort into acquiring things that mean nothing. Look at verse 8. Here's what you need. It's interesting because this is what God actually said. This is what God says. Let me tell you what you need. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Here's what God says. If you have food, you have raiment. It's clothing. If you have food and clothing, you should have no problem being content. Notice what that doesn't mention. Doesn't mention houses. Doesn't mention vehicles. Doesn't mention computers, cell phones, doesn't mention any gadget you own, doesn't mention a whole lot of things. See, what you need, according to the Bible, what you need is food and raiment. That's what God says, not even a house. It's interesting because Jesus said, hey, the Son of Man doesn't know where he's going to lay his head. Was Jesus content, though? He was content. Why? Because he had food and raiment. You say, how can we learn to be content in our lives? What's the defense against covetousness? It is learning the difference between needs and wants. And by the way, when you learn the difference between needs and wants, you will stop yourself from selling yourself on all sorts. Because I really need. I need that. I need to go there. I need to have that vacation. Do you really need that? Or do you just want it? Because the only things you really need are food and raiment. Learn the difference between need and want. And be honest with yourself. At least say, you know, I'm going into $50,000 worth of debt for a vehicle that is going to depreciate in 30% of its value 5 minutes after I drive it off the lot. I'm doing that, you know, illogical, ill-conceived thought, not because of my need. It's just what I want. Because I'm sure your need would be fulfilled with a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 nice quality used vehicle. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Just be honest with yourself. Because we hear the ad, and we hear the ad, and we hear the ad. And here's what the moment we decide we want something, our mind begins to articulate all these reasons why we need it. Well, your back has been hurting. No, it hasn't. Well, you need that. No, you don't. Then how do I become a content person? Learn the difference between needs and wants. There's actually very little you need. There's lots of things we want. And when you learn the difference between your needs and want, go to Hebrews if you would. You learn 1 Timothy goes. Past 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, then Hebrews. Once you learn the difference between needs and wants, you should learn to be happy with what you've got. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. The word conversation means lifestyle. The way you and I live our lives, here's what God says. When people look at your life, here's what they should see. They should see no covetousness. People should be able to look at you. People who know you, your spouse, your in-laws, your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, your fellow church members, your co-workers, your employer, your employees. People should be able to look at you as a Christian and say, there is someone who's content. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Notice these words. Be content with such things as you're going to get. Is that what it says? And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because here's the truth. The truth is this. The search for things will never satisfy. Because as soon as you get that new model iPhone, you know what they're going to do? They're going to play a dirty trick on you. They're going to come out with a newer model. As soon as you get that certain vehicle, they're going to come out. You know what they're going to do? They're just going to come out with another one the next year. You must learn to be happy with what you have. Be content with such things as you have. See, you say, I'll be happy. Look, you can be happy right now with what you have if you learn to be content. Go back to 1 Timothy, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We talk about the definition of covetousness. What does it mean to be covetous? Look, there's nothing wrong during the Christmas season to buy gifts and give gifts. I think you should do all things. But please, please, with your kids, don't just turn Christmas all into just, what do you want? What do you want? Write me out a list. I'm Santa Claus. You know what you ought to teach your kids? To give. You gotta talk, hey, why don't we write out a list of all the gifts you want to give this year? Look, get gifts for your kids. I'm not saying don't get gifts for your kids. We're going to get gifts for our kids, but don't make life about things. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do not desire things. Do not desire wealth. Do not desire riches. Do not desire money. These are things that the Bible tells us as Christians we should not do. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 9. But they that will be rich, we talked about this on Sunday. But they that will be rich, the word will there is a desire to have. They that desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here's what I can tell you. Here's the truth. You cannot be a covetous person and serve God with your life. Period. I mean, this is what the Bible says. It says, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Over the last 10 years of ministry, I've known of two individuals that one individual one day asked me the question. He looked me in the eye and he said, how do you know when someone's becoming covetous? First time anyone had ever asked me that question. I thought, I don't know. He said, well, how do you throw somebody out of church for being covetous? And I thought, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I watched that individual from that moment become a covetous person. And it's almost like, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Almost like he was worried. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, you asked me this question. How do I know when someone's covetous? And I'm watching it happen. Three to Thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winner. Faithful, preached. Within a matter of months, gone. I knew another guy. Looked me in the eye, said, Pastor, I will be a millionaire. He promised me, he said, when I become a millionaire, I'm going to buy you a church building. Hates me today. Not a millionaire. Because I'm a millionaire, I'm going to send him a bill. You know what the Bible says? While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You think you're smarter than God? You think you're smart? Listen, teenager. You think you're smarter than the word of God? I'm going to go make money. I'm going to drive a car. And I'm going to get nice shoes. I'm going to live for things. You are not going to do anything worth mentioning with your life. They that coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The Bible says you can't serve God and material wealth. Go to Matthew chapter 6. This is not the only place it says it. Somebody tells me they're going to buy me a church building, I just count them off as I'll probably never see you again. Now watch these individuals become covetous. When all you talk about is money, be careful. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I watched two individuals go from talking about soul winning, loving the Lord, the things of God, to the house they were going to buy, the car they were going to buy, money they were going to make. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Is that a suggestion? If you think you can handle it, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Is that what it says? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. The answer is always the same. Why should I not lay up? Why should I not give myself, Pastor, to just pursuing material wealth? Here's why. Because it will get destroyed. Where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. He says, here's what you should do. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. See, here's the truth about money. We sell ourselves on these things. We say, oh, no, I'm going to buy this house and my kids are going to love me for it. I'm going to buy all these toys and my kids are going to love me for it. I'm going to work all these hours and I'm just going to ignore my kids, but I'm going to give them all this stuff. And my wife's going to love me. My kids are going to love me. Everybody's going to love me. Nobody's going to love you. I mean, I've seen it so many times. People give themselves to wealth. Grow up with the kids, hate them. Bad marriages, bad relationships. You know, it's better just be poor and have a good relationship with your family. Better be poor and just be godly. Notice verse 20. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot, look, it doesn't say some people cannot. No, ye cannot serve God. You see that word mammon? And mammon, you know what mammon is? Things. Not just money, things. You can't serve God in real estate. You can't serve God in land. You can't serve God in vehicles. You can't serve God in gadgets. You can't serve God in things. Look, there's nothing wrong with things. Nothing wrong with things at all. But we should not desire to have these things, because when we do, we will err from the faith. When we do, we will stray from serving God. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, if you kept your place in Proverbs. I'm not sure if you did or not. Proverbs chapter 23. Notice what the Bible says. Look, this is all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible, you can't get away from this concept. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Say, no, Pastor, I got it all figured out. Okay, here's the part that's for you. Cease from thine own wisdom. It's interesting how he connects those two thoughts. Labor not to be rich. Now, notice, he didn't say don't labor. He said just don't labor. It's not about the labor. It's about why you're laboring. They that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, to many hurtful and deceitful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Listen to me, young men. You're a young man, you want to get married and all those things. I'm happy for you. Listen to me. Don't desire to be rich. Life consists of more than the things that we possess. You say, well, should I just be lazy? Well, no. There's other verses and other sermons for that. You say, well, what should be my desire? Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse 8. Look, this is what the Bible says. I thought we were Baptists. I thought we cared about what the Bible said. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Look, all the media will give you is vanity and lies. All this world will give you is vanity and lies. All you'll get from social media is vanity and lies. Those people are not as happy as they seem on Facebook. And their vacation wasn't that awesome. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Notice what he says. Give me neither poverty nor riches. He said, what should a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ want? Here's what they should want. Neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. The word convenient means what I need, what comes naturally, what I would naturally need. He said, feed me with food convenient for me. You say, why? Why would I want neither poverty nor riches? Verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee. And by the way, that's why you can't follow money, follow things, and serve God. Because when we get full, we get prideful. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or, here's the other extreme, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You know that the financial goal of a Christian should be neither poverty nor riches? Lord, just give me what I need and I'll be content. Anyone in the Bible, go to 1 Kings if you would, real quickly. Because this is what people say, I preach this. I've had people say this to me. Well, one of these guys has said this to me. I said, I'm going to be a millionaire. I said, no, you want to be careful with that. Well, in the Bible, all these people were rich. I'm like, you got that from my sermon. I preached that. What about all these examples of people that were rich in the Bible? Here's what's interesting about all the people that were rich in the Bible. None of them desired it. None of them gave their life to it. None of them worked towards it. You're not going to find in the Bible where Abraham, Isaac, you know what you find? Isaac goes out to work, and the Bible says the Lord prospered him. Jacob was broke, and he began to work hard, and then God blessed him. The problem is not money. The problem is not money. The problem is you. The problem is the love of money. 1 Kings chapter 3, look at verse 11. You say, oh, what about Solomon? Solomon was rich. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 3, look at verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, don't miss this, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lord, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. That's what they asked. That's what he asked for. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Look at verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So before you start saying, well, I'm going to be like Solomon. Wait, well, Solomon never asked for riches. You know what Solomon asked for? Wisdom. To be able to discern, to be able to serve his family, to be able to serve in his ministry. And God said, because thou hast asked neither riches for thyself, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for. See, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. God uses wealthy people all the time. But God never gives wealth. God never gave wealth to someone that served God when they desired it. When they said, I'm going to labor to be rich. You say, why is that? Here's why. Money is a magnifier. Remember the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, all money does is it magnifies who you already are. Money never changes you. Money never changes anybody. That's why, and you can look up the statistics, poor, derelict people who have no character and have no ability, they don't make any money. They win the lottery, they have a good 3 years, and then you know how they end up? Poor, derelict, broke. You say, why? Because all money does is it magnifies who you already are. See, if you're kind, if you love the Lord, if you don't care about stuff, and then God bless you all this money, you know what you'll become? Someone who's kind, who loves the Lord, who doesn't care about stuff, and has a lot of money. But if you're someone who is pursuing wealth, pursuing wealth, pursuing wealth, pursuing things, I can't be happy unless I get this for Christmas and that for Christmas. Look, once you get all that, it won't change anything. You'll still be someone who will need more and more and more and more and more. And look, here's all I'm telling you. I feel bad for some people. You know that you could live a much less stressful life if you learn this idea to be content. Go back to Philippians where we started. We'll finish there. We tell kids, you should act your age. We should start telling adults, you should act your wage. You don't have to live the life you live so stressed out all the time. Here's what happens. You make a certain amount of money. And you think, man, I make so much money, I could live in this neighborhood, and I could drive this vehicle, and I don't have to go to Walmart anymore. Now Target's where I'm going to be. And then you make a little more money. And now it's like, forget Target, Neiman Markets. I don't even know if that's a store. I think that's a store. And forget this neighborhood. I'm going to go to that neighborhood. Forget this piece of garbage. I'm going to go get that nice car. You know, what people do is they never live within their means. They live beyond their means. So you buy a house you can't afford. You buy a car you can't afford. You buy clothes you really should have no business purchasing. Say, so how do you know I can't afford it? Because it's all on credit cards. That's how I know you can't afford it. If you can afford it, you pay cash for it. You buy all these things you can't afford just to keep this image because you think, man, if I just have these things, I'll be happy. And you don't realize that all those things is why you're so bitter and angry and always on a short fuse and always so upset and always so stressed out. If you just say, you know what? I'm happy with my ghetto car. I like my not-so-nice neighborhood. I've got, you know, enough money to pay for those and take the wife out on a date every week, and I'm not stressed out. You might learn the secret of contentment, which is simply this. Learn to understand what you actually need and learn to be happy with what you've actually got. The Apostle Paul said this, not that I speak in respect of want. There's nothing I need. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Some people, you read that to them, and they say, I could never do that. That's why the next verse says this, I can do all things through Christ. Which strengtheneth me. Amen. Here's a question I have for you. Are you content tonight? You said, if I never got anything else, if I never got another raise, if I never got another toy, if I never got another gadget, if I didn't get anything else, would I be satisfied? We should be careful. We should be careful during this holiday season. Because Black Friday is going to start, and everybody's going to tell you, you need this, and you need that, and you need to go there, and you need to buy that, and you need an upgrade here, and you need an upgrade there. And look, there's nothing wrong with stuff. Nothing wrong with having stuff. Just make sure that stuff doesn't have you. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Hey, kids, listen up. Christmas is not about toys. I hope you get some toys. Honestly, I hope you don't get too many toys. I don't know where we got this idea that one kid needs 5,000 toys for Christmas, and we somehow think that's good. The Lord is blessing us. You are going to raise a monster. Give that kid a couple of nice toys and give the rest to charity or something. Kids, I hope you get some nice toys. I really do. But I hope you also learn how to be generous. I hope you also learn to be an adult that doesn't need anything, doesn't need to live anywhere. Doesn't need to drive anything to be happy. But you can say godliness with contentment is great gain. It's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for our church. Pray for these kids. It is so easy in this American culture to get caught up with things. Things are nice. We all like things. Help us not to be people who are serving mammon with our lives. Help us to realize that things, toys, gadgets, vehicles, houses, land, property, none of that matters. All that matters is God. All that matters is our family. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people that are content this holiday season. Help us to teach our kids, Lord, to be content. I realize there's some good deals on Black Friday. I hope people get good deals. I'm not against them shopping. But help us to live a life that is content. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.